thank you for gracing us with your presence, Lord. For clothing us in robes of righteousness, which we did not build for ourselves, but you prepared them for us. Lord, as we stand here before you this morning, clothed in your righteousness as your bride, praising you and glorifying you, we thank you that you have joined in with us. We thank you for securing moments like this. Father, we thank you that you saw these moments even before Jesus came and gave himself a ransom for many, that in your heart was always to be with your children. And your desire is that none would perish, but that all would come to know that you are good, that you are loving, that you are kind, that your kindness and your mercy triumphs over judgment. That it is your kindness that leads men to repentance, O God. That it was your goodness toward us that drew us near to a place that we could have never prepared for ourselves. But you prepared the table. You set the table in the presence of our enemies, O God. And you sat down and enjoyed a meal that only you could have served. And Lord, we know that your desire is to come in, and you're knocking even now at the door of the heart of your church, not just individuals, but your church, Lord. And as a church, as a body of believers, we say, come in. Come in, Father. We do not want to be a church that says you wait outside while we do what's important inside, but we want you in here, in the space of our own lives, in the space of this fellowship. That you would work within us what only you can do. Holy Spirit, we just give you free reign, free rule. We surrender the will that you gave to us to freely choose. And we surrender that now to you. Use us as you see fit. Move upon us as you desire. Use the gifts and talents that you've placed within us to reach this community for your namesake. With the same love that we freely have received, we now freely turn to offer it to them. Father, we thank you for that beautiful gift, the spirit of evangelism. The spirit that desires, just as you desire, that none would perish. But Lord, you've placed that into hearts. I know there was many hearts this morning that just sensed that that was for them. That was specifically for you. And now as we leave this afternoon, there will be something within us that desires more than ever before to intercede for, to believe for, to pray for, to go after the lost ones. The lost ones. The lost ones that cannot find you on their own, but will need someone to first find them. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your words to us already this morning, for your presence here with us now. We give you praise, honor, and glory because it's always been all about you. We align ourselves with you this morning in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen, amen. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Children, you're going to stay up here with us for a few more moments before you go downstairs today because we have something special that's about to take place. Ooh, I don't know about you, prophetic words like what our brother Lou. I feel like the older, once he crossed into the 90s now, the words keep getting more pointed and more clear. Sometimes prophecies seem to take a while and so much is said, but when it's that specific and it's just that to the point, it's important that we take note and we recognize God is trying to say something to us, that we've been given a great, precious treasure in Jesus Christ, and it's him that we want to share with this world. And so, whew, thank you, Lord. This morning we are going to do something very special. This is a family event. This is something that happens. You all get to witness it, but this is something that's a part of what happens within a church family of believers when someone within that group rises to a place of leadership and demonstrates a willingness to serve and to give of themselves and to bring the gifts and talents that God has placed within them to the benefit of the body, when they bring that and they begin to excel and they begin to move in that, we believe as a church that that's when you say, okay, this is the role that you're already fulfilling. Let's call it what it is, and let's identify you and ordain you to the position that you're already fulfilling. Many churches do it the other way around. They create a title, they create a position, and then they put they ask for people's resumes to see who can fill the position without any real evidence sometimes of their ability to fill that position. And this is different. We have watched Bob and Esther Iannuzzo as they have raised their own family, as they have demonstrated godly principles and the way that they have trained their own children, and the way that they have volunteered to just help out and to be a blessing to so many of the young adults in this community over the past couple of years. It's just been powerful to watch. And so this morning, we're going to be officially ordaining them. Dr. Leon is here from Global Ministries and Relief. He is an apostolic voice of authority into this house. He's a senior member of our board, senior not because of his age, but because of his significance to the board. just to clarify that. But he will be here to represent, and he's the chairperson of Global, and he will be here to do the official ordination. My ordination is through Global Ministries and under Dr. Leon's ministry, as well as Pastor Chris and Pastor Dan Ray. And so we just are going to ask them to come forward now. We're glad to see some of the family here to witness this. Bob and Esther, why don't you come on up to the front? I've invited some of the ministry staff here at church, some of the pastors. It's a great honor and a privilege this morning to recognize that there are those who are younger in years but have grown rich in wisdom, and they're going to carry this forward into this next generation. And so at this time, I'm going to pass over to Dr. Leon. He has a few things to say, and then we'll continue with the ordination.
Thank you so much, Pastor Joshua. Ordination, as Pastor Joshua has just indicated, is not just a tradition. It's not just an employment contract, but it is a recognition of that which has already been taking place in and through their lives as carriers of God's glory into this house. And so we see what God has done, but today we lay hands, which is an impartation and an activation, not only a recognition, but it's a release into a higher dimension of recognized authority for them, but also for you as the congregation. So if I could get that podium, I want to read some scriptures. And did you bring the knife so that Pastor Bob can cut his hand? I need some of his own blood to sign. I didn't mention that on Friday. I took about an hour to rip into Pastor Bob on Friday. I said to him that there's going to be a long process of ordination that will include foot washing, a thorough dousing of oil, eating lemon, a lot of lemon, because ministry often bears much bitterness and discomfort, and then just a teaspoon of honey for the few moments of sweetness that we get along the way, and that will be followed by flogging, because he will bear the marks of the wounds of ministry in his life. He wasn't so excited about being ordained after that pep talk. I love what Paul said to Timothy, and I want to read it to you. Let no one despise your youth. Not that you are kids anymore, but you're still young in age. You've got so much ahead of you. When you lead in the church, there are always going to be people older than you. I appreciated Pastor Joshua saying that I was senior, not so much in age. I'm not in my 90s, as that dear brother prophesied. I'm 20 years younger than you. It's not the age that gives you credibility. You can be 50 years a believer and still be a baby. You can be 10 years in the Lord and be mature, developed, and functioning. But there is this thing in society that they don't always recognize you because of your age. Don't despise them because they're young. But that's from your side. Don't let them despise you. Conduct yourself. Here it is. But be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to reading. There it is. Just a little dig. Not just listening, brother, reading. to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Here are the vows that I'm going to put before you, and both of you would simply say, I do. If you say I don't, I'll come at you real hard. These are ordination vows. I covenant to keep watch over my own life, seeking to live in a manner pleasing to God and worthy of His calling. I covenant to watch over and pray for the flock of God entrusted to my care as one who must give an account. I covenant to love, guide, and care for God's people, not by constraint, but from a willing spirit, not motivated by personal gain, but eager to serve, not lording over those entrusted to me, but rather being an example to the flock. I covenant to set an example for other believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. I covenant to love my family, to raise my children in the training and instruction of the Lord, to manage my own household well, and to maintain a good reputation in the community. I covenant to study the Scriptures, that I may teach what is in accord with sound doctrine and handle God's word correctly with the best of my ability. I covenant in my teaching to show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech befitting the word of God. I covenant to preach God's word, to be prepared in season and out of season, to correct, rebuke, and encourage with patience and careful instruction. I covenant to proclaim the whole counsel of God from the Scriptures without fear or hesitation. I covenant to discharge faithfully all the duties of my ministry in a manner that is honorable both to God and to man. Therefore, because of these covenant decisions, today it is our privilege to ordain and recognize you into the office of pastors of this house. Would the pastors come and join me, please? If you guys could, yeah, it's almost like that, yeah. Praise the Lord, yeah. Face us, yeah, and we'll just stand around you. Praise the Lord. Of course, I always invite the eldership. If God gives you a prophetic word, grab the mic from my hand and prophesy and share what God gives to you. It's a great honor and privilege today on behalf of the head of the church, the King of Glory, the foundation, the builder, the possessor, to lay hands upon you, to ordain you into the office, the fivefold ascension ministry gift of the pastor, that you would fulfill and exercise your duties even as you have given your covenant vows today. May His blessing be upon you both. That blessing that brings great prosperity and joy. May you be strengthened with all might and power that works in you to function at the highest potential of your calling, that you would zealously pursue the proclamation, the declaration of the gospel, the whole counsel of God's word, that you would prophesy, that you would flow in the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit, that you would lead with great integrity and authority as examples, and that those that are raised in your care and shepherdhood would admire and respect and honor you because they recognize God in you. Without Him, we can do nothing, but through Him, we can do all things. And I release you into the all things that God enables you to do. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ordain you into this high office today. And we give you praise, O God, for your blood that has set them apart and called them, your Spirit that has anointed them for this task and this mission. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Know this day that my church is in a new season. My church is in a season of revelation and release. And know that as you go forth this day as the new pastors, that you will go forth in revelation and release. And I have taken you at this time. This is the time. You might have thought maybe earlier or maybe later, but the Lord is saying today, this is the time. This is the time for you to move forward, to step forward, to not look back at anything, but look ahead and seek my face. Seek my face. As you seek my face, you will hear words from me that you have never heard before. I am opening up your ears to hear things in the spirit realm like you've never heard before. I am opening up your mouth to speak words to come forth in power and in might. Do not be afraid. Go forth with courage. Go forth with revelation. Go forth with my power. Go forth with my anointing. Don't hold back because this is the day I have ordained for you. Hallelujah.
Here we have a voice into the next generation, which is wondering who they are, which is wondering where their place is in this world. And here we have pastors for this next generation, a voice to those crying out into wilderness, wondering who they are and where they're going and what to make of everything in this world. Lord, we thank you for empowering Bob and Esther, Lord, to be that voice to this next generation, to lead them in the way that they should go, to help them in their understanding, to speak what they speak, but not forsake the integrity of the word in your scripture and the very thing, the very power that be that would change us from the inside out. The very thing you did 2,000 years ago and you said it is finished once and for all. You're not climbing back up on that cross. You did it once and for all generations to follow, Lord. Thank you for this voice to the next generation that they are, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord.
Bob, I see the pain of yesteryear, how sometimes it clouded your vision, but from this day on, you will see clearly in the Spirit. You will come to visions and revelations. You'll see dimensions of the Spirit you only dreamed about in the past. The cloudiness of yesterday is gone. This is a new day for both of you. I bless you in the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Bob, there's a couple of things I want to say to you. First, status in the kingdom is not measured by gifts or talents or abilities. It's by service. You have two responsibilities, to serve your king and to serve his people. The anointing costs a lot, and it's going to cost you more in time than you can imagine, but he will be strong in you. No matter what, obey your king and serve his people.
Be bold. Be strong, be courageous, move mountains, change your world, and slay those giants in Jesus' name. Church, receive your new pastors. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Well, I'm not going to say too much because we've got Dr. Leon with us this morning. I want to give him as much time as possible. We so appreciate him being here to officiate that moment in the kingdom. Children, you're dismissed to your classes now. We love you guys. Appreciate your voice into our worship and into the future of this house. And it's just a privilege to have you here this morning. I hope that you've come expecting, that you've come hungry, that you've come ready to receive a word from the Lord, because Dr. Liam was here last night, and what a powerful message that was. If you missed it and you couldn't be here, I would strongly encourage you, look on Facebook Live. You look up Kingsfire Church on Facebook. You can find that live stream. It's still there. As well as this morning, our first session at 9 o'clock was powerful, was anointed. There was so much poured out. If you missed that, try and find it again. We'll post it to the places we always post. But we're going to just welcome him now. I think that everybody's ready to move forward. But what a just great blessing to know that he is for us. There's a lot that's against us, but he's for us. If God be for us, it doesn't really matter who's against us. That's the beautiful part of being a believer in this day and age. So Dr. Leon, come on up here. We love you, appreciate you, and take your liberty.
If you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me. If you don't, you can listen while I read from Acts chapter 27 and verse 23. Acts 27, 23. Last night I began with the scripture. Paul is on a ship on his way to Rome. They hit a huge storm, hurricane force winds for many days. The crew is in panic mode. They've done all that they know out of their experience, but there is apparently no saving the ship, and their lives are in jeopardy. Paul has an encounter with an angel, and I've entitled this message, Belong. Yesterday I dealt with when we belong to God, we stand strong in the face of adversity, storms, trials, and conflict. In the second session that I taught on this subject, Belong, this morning, I dealt with belonging to God and belonging to the church. Now I'm going to pick up part three, which is based on this scripture. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God, here it is, to whom I belong. We belong to God. When you are born of God, you become God's property. Not the property of his abuse, but the property of his affection. He saw such value in your life that an exchange had to be made to redeem you or to buy you out of the marketplace of sin, Satan, hell, and death. And he redeemed you with the precious blood of Jesus, not with corruptible things like silver and gold, which we incidentally count highly valuable. To God, those things are incorruptible. They hold very little value before the eyes of God, so much so that the walls are studded in glory with jewels, and the road is gold. It's what he walks on. You were not bought with silver and gold, but the exchange was made when Jesus took your place, settling the debt that you could never pay, paid in full by the blood of Jesus. And that blood speaks louder than our guilt and declares us to be made righteous. I was doing a study on the leper that came and fell at the feet of Jesus and said, if you are willing, we are not groveling lepers. At the feet of Jesus, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. The Syrophoenician woman's child was delivered and healed from the crumbs under the table. We are not eating that which is portioned for dogs. We are eating from the bread on the table, for we are sons and daughters of God. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus, we belong to Him, the God to whom I belong. Why do I belong to Him? Because He redeemed me. Because I belong to Him, I'm the object of His affection, of His attention. That blood allows me uninterrupted access to the full provision of eternity. Hallelujah. There is nothing lacking. All things have been given to you and to me in sonship pertaining to life and godliness. We are not living from the dregs of the bottom of the barrel, but from the endless, unlimited supply of God's glory. Hallelujah. You are a co-heir together with Christ because you belong to God. He doesn't call you servants. He calls you sons and daughters. Your approach before God is with boldness, with confidence, with a sense of worship and humility and honor, but you can stand before God. You can approach the unapproachable, the thrice holy God, holy, 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 and you've been made equally holy by the blood of Jesus. Your approach is not smoting your breast saying, I am unworthy, because you are now a son or daughter of God. Your approach is with confidence. I am unworthy is not the statement of the new creation. That is the statement of the law. You have been delivered from the law. You have been delivered from the penalty. You have been delivered from Satan's grip. You have been translated into the kingdom of His Son. Hallelujah. The God to whom I belong. It's a wonderful thing to belong to God. When adversity comes, when challenges come, when sickness comes, you can stand and say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I belong to God. I've been redeemed. This body belongs to God. Christ died for all. Therefore, all who live don't live for themselves, but we live for Him because we belong to Him. We are one with Him. Just as Jesus turned and said, the Father and I are one. Today, you can truly say without hesitation that you are one with God. The union is perfect. You may feel inferior. You may feel unqualified. You may feel like this is almost blasphemy that I could have such an approach. There is no condemnation over your life. You've been delivered from the law of sin and death. You've been translated out of darkness. You are now placed in the kingdom of light, of freedom, of sonship. Hallelujah. We need to understand our identity in Him, because that doesn't allow for the sense of unworthiness, inferiority, where we are shamed into performance. We stand as the redeemed of the Lord. Sickness, hands off my body. It belongs to God. When the enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, you belong to God. And He is watching over you. I love the imagery that when you are in Christ and Christ is in you, when the enemy comes, he doesn't see you. He sees you in Christ. You are not the victim of his attack. You are victorious because you are in him. You stand in the authority of the name of Jesus. In his name, you will cast out demons. In his name, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. In his name, you can face the attack of the serpent and deadly things, and it will not harm you because you stand in sonship. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our faith and understand the nature of our identity in the new creation. The old has passed away. All things have been made brand new. You are brand new. Your priorities are brand new. Your responsibilities are brand new. What was once important no longer has attraction. What was once your way of living is no longer your way of living. You are now a citizen of heaven. You are now a carrier of God's glory, light, love, power, and word. You are his, and he is yours. And his banner over you is love. Hallelujah. When you belong to God, you are not only placed in him, but you are also baptized or immersed into the church. The Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. When you are saved, you belong to God. Therefore, you belong to what he counts as important. Jesus didn't just die to save us to have a personal relationship. He died and took our place so that we could have a personal relationship and a corporate relationship with him and with one another. Christ, having loved the church, gave himself for it. He loves the church. He believes in the church, and he's coming again for the church. He said, whenever we gather in his name, there he is. He is with us today, and no doubt you have sensed his presence and glory as we worshiped, as we got into the ordination, you felt the download of God. When the little children were singing, I felt the glory of God in the sound of their voice. I had goosebumps on my already existing goosebumps. I sensed God. And I wanted to jump up and grab the microphone and start prophesying of this great emerging army. They may look small, they may look young, but they are giant slayers. They are mountain movers. That the young and the old will dance together. That we will shout and celebrate together. We will not despise their youth, and they will not despise our maturity. That they will not see us as those that have limited them, but we are their fans. We are shouting and urging them to become their best for the glory of God. We sense the presence of God in the house because he is in the house. He believes in the church. And he loves the church. But what's happened is that the believers believe in God, but they no longer believe in the church. When you belong to God, you better belong to what he is doing. Someone said, Leon, how can I have success in my ministry? I said, it's very easy. Just do whatever God's doing. If God's doing something, do it. You'll be highly successful. And I'll tell you what God's doing. He's building his church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. He is building the church. Don't fight against God. I'll guarantee you this, you lose. If God be for you, who can be against you? But if God be against you, you're done. You better not harm the church. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I'm not persecuting you, bright shining light. I'm persecuting those crazy Christians. When you touch them, you touch me, because we are inseparable. I am the head, They are my body. You touch them, you're touching me. It's better that a millstone be hung around your neck and cast into the bottom of a well. When you damage the church, you touch him. When you bless the church, you bless him. When you give a glass of water to them, you're giving it to the Lord. When you serve them, you're serving the Lord. When you love them, you love the Lord. You cannot say you love God but hate your brother. If the church has wounded you and you've been disappointed in the church, I'll tell you the truth. The church is imperfect because we are members of it. Take us out of the picture. It's going to be a great church. But Christ didn't come to save the perfect. He came to save us. And like the Apostle Paul, we can all say we're the chiefest among all sinners. We didn't deserve it. We got it by the grace of God. And now the church has got us in it, flaws and all, which we are being delivered from, raised up to our maximum potential in him. It's a process. It's called the transformation, the renewing of our mind. In our spirit, we're made perfect, but in our thinking and in our habits, we are imperfect. And sometimes we as believers get the imperfection, the frailty and the weakness. And then we recognize that as the reputation of the church. Our reputation is not in our humanity. Our reputation is in his divinity. Our reputation is in his glory. Hallelujah. He loves the church. He's coming back for the church. And in a sense, people say, well, the bride must make herself ready. The blood makes us ready. In ourselves, we would never be able to make ourselves ready. The only way we can be ready is to understand our identity in him. That is our readiness. To know one another by the Spirit and not according to the flesh. It's the blood that makes us ready. Hallelujah. Otherwise, our works would save us. Our efforts would be our redemption. Then we better get out. Not sleep, not exercise, not play, because we better be found busy if that were to earn us an access into glory. We're saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean that we're saved into laziness either. We're not saved into indifference, inactivity. Of course, we should be zealous for good works, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. But we're not saved by those. We are saved by the grace of God. And if you have been wounded in the church, those may be watching, I want to tell you something that the Lord spoke to me when I was wounded. And I said, I'd never go back, bunch of hypocrites. He said to me, Leon, if you don't get over this, this will always be over you. He said, you better get over the pain. You better get over the rejection. You better get over the unforgiveness. Because if you don't, you will be limited. You'll never reach the plan and the destiny that I have for your life. Week one, I went home, I said, I'll never go back to church, bunch of hypocrites. Sunday night, the Lord appears in my room and speaks to me face to face. What are you doing here? When he said, what are you doing here? I knew exactly what it meant. Why aren't you at church? I said to him, you know. And he said to me, I was judged and found guilty, yet I was blameless. You were judged and found guilty. I died, and you feeling sorry for yourself. Get over it, or it will always be over you. Then he said to me, are people being saved? I said, yes. He said, who does that? You. Are people being healed? Who does that? You. Are people being filled with the Spirit? Who does that? You. That means I'm there. I want you there. I said to him, okay, I'm going. And that's why I have such a great love for the church, because of that encounter. And I know our frailty. I know our weakness. I know the hypocrisies. But I'm going to say to you what the Lord said to me. If you don't get over it, you will be limited in your life, in your potential, because we are made to function together according to His plan and purpose for our lives. Which takes me to the next point. The God to whom I belong, we belong to Him, we belong to the church. And then he says, and whom I serve. I want to speak about serving the Lord. I've already qualified that we're not saved by our service. And we are certainly not saved into servitude. We're saved into sonship. Hallelujah. Glad that excited you so much. Woo! There are three S's. We are sons and daughters. That's our approach to God. The second is we are stewards. Stewards are managers. Remember when the talents were given? They were given to the stewards, 5, 2, and 1. We are to be stewards of a couple of things. Number one, we're to be stewards of time. Both the chronos, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, and the kairos, when God gives us a specific period of time to do a specific thing. If you are not faithful with chronos, you'll not be faithful with kairos. So you have to be faithful with the days that have been numbered to you. Make your time count on planet Earth. You do not have a second chance. When the curtain comes down and you take your last breath, you step from this body into eternity. And what you do on earth will count for eternity, not for punishment, but for reward. And I fear there are many that have squandered time. They have not been responsible with the days that they have been given. Number two, you are to be a steward of your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are to look after it to the best of your ability, to walk in health, to take care, to hydrate, to rest, to exercise, and to have correct diet. Because again, you don't get a makeover. This is your body. You better get used to being in it. This is your earth suit. And when this earth suit gives up, you step into the glorious one. And so you should look after your body. Number three, you have been given gifts, anointings, and abilities by God. You are a steward of those giftings and abilities. Just like the 5, the 2, and the 1, he is expecting fruitfulness, increase. He gives you something, he expects you to do something with it. If you've been given an anointing, a vision, a measure of faith to do something to the glory of God, he expects you to invest your time and your body on the altar of sacrifice, a living sacrifice, to serve him. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and perfect will of God. Why? Because he expects you to do something with what he has given you. But if you're not on the altar of sacrifice, you'll squander the gift. And many people preach on the well done, and there is a well done. And many people want the well done to be one day when they step into the portals of eternity. The well done is actually on earth. It's the well done for increase and promotion, just like we saw with Pastors Bob and Esther today. They were promoted, recognized, increased, because they have done well on earth. God wants to promote you on earth, not just when you go to heaven. The well done in heaven is to Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for our salvation. The well done is a earthly promotion, a recognition when he comes to examine what are you doing with your gifts, faith, anointing, vision, body, and time. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. So the stewards were called servants. Servant, we are not saved into servitude. Servanthood is an attitude. Let this mind be found in you, which was in Christ Jesus. What was the attitude of Jesus? Even though he was a son, he made himself a servant. Our motive in ministry is as a servant, not as a dictator, a dominator, as an authority figure. We may have authority, but we operate in humility, serving the people of God. So we are sons, we are stewards, and we are servants. When we were called by God, everyone was called. When you called out of darkness into the light, you are also at the same time called out of selfishness into selflessness. You are called out of being, as it were, the ministry to become ministers. I don't have a problem with people coming to receive ministry. I just have a problem that that's the only movement they have is when they're in constant need of hands being laid upon them. There's got to come a point in time when you give away what you've been given. What's been invested to you, if much has been given to you, much is expected from you. Now, we all want to hear, well done. No one ever teaches on, depart from me, you wicked and lazy servant. I've been in ministry 50 years. I'm yet to hear anyone in my entire 50 years of ministry, other than me, teach on, depart from me, you wicked and lazy servant. It kind of just doesn't seem to fit into grace. And yet it is the God of grace that said it. And incidentally, the God of grace also said, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. He is the unchanging God. He is the God of grace, but he's also a God that finds certain things distasteful, unpalatable. He expects us to change and to rise to the full potential of the God life that he has given to us. Being saved by grace is not an excuse to live in passivity, indifference, and laziness. Depart from me, you wicked and lazy servant. Why? Because they didn't act as stewards in the motive of a servant fulfilling their destiny on earth. The God to whom I belong and serve. I want to speak about service for a few minutes. We are all called, separated, and anointed by God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So we see that Paul, a bondservant, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel, that's the redemption, the act of redemption, saved him, called him, appointed him, and released him. Now, his office was as an apostle. Today, we placed Pastors Bob and Esther as pastors. Not all are apostles, not all are evangelists, not all are teachers, not all are prophets, but all are called. So, forget about Paul, a bondservant. Put your name there. You are a bondservant, that is your attitude. You are a son, but you act as a servant of Jesus Christ. Called, put your gift, calling, ministry, what God has given to you. If you don't know what that is, then start with what was prophesied today. Put there, my ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. Every Christian, every believer is given the ministry of reconciliation. If you haven't discovered your gifts, anointings, and ability, then discover this one today. When you are saved, you are given the ministry of reconciliation. That is where you speak on behalf of God, be reconciled to God. It's the proclamation of the gospel. Every single believer has been given that. We have evangelists who function in a high gift, but all should evangelize. We have people that are called into hospitality, but all should be hospitable. We've got people called into generosity and giving, but all should be generous and give. All are called into, some are called as teachers, but we are all called to teach because by this time you ought to be teachers. So you may not stand behind a podium and teach, but you can teach from the podium of your life and home and influence those that you raise and disciple. So we are all called. Some have a specific anointing, but we can all function in various giftings and abilities. So put your gift and ability there, called to be what? Separated to the gospel. Again, in line with the prophetic word today, we are all separated to the gospel. And this is something that people, well, I feel so inadequate. Well, you know what? This is going to sound rather harsh. Get over your fear of man. Get over your fear of rejection. Get over the fear of being disliked because of that message. The Great Commission was not a good suggestion. It's called the Great Commission by purpose. It is a great commission. Just like we commissioned Pastor Bob and Esther today, we commissioned them. You also have been commissioned by Jesus. Go into all the world and make disciples. I often say, what part of go don't you get? Is it the G or the O? And the reason I'm belaboring this point is because of the prophetic word. I want to go with that prophetic utterance because I felt it was God. God is calling us to be awakened as evangelists. He's calling us and anointing us today to serve Him. Because we belong to Him, we serve Him. One of the greatest ways that you can serve God is to reach the lost at any cost and make disciples. Another way that, there you go. Another way that you can, there's a lone voice crying in the wilderness. Another way that you can serve God is through intercession and prayer. Everyone can move mountains and change the spiritual climatic conditions because the Bible says in James that Elijah prayed and it did not rain, and he prayed and it rained. We are just like Elijah. You can pray. We're of a like nature. We can pray and we can change the spiritual climate of our world. And so that is something that you can do. If you don't know what to do, you can pray and you can share the gospel. That's a good place to start. And through Him, you've received grace and a ministry for obedience to the faith. In other words, you've got to be obedient with what God has given you. Service, serving God is the greatest privilege that can be given to us. Because we represent God on earth as His sons and daughters. And He doesn't leave us powerless. He says, you shall receive power and you'll be my witnesses. We're not operating out of our energy, out of our strength, out of our skill, out of our wisdom, out of our experience. We're operating out of the revelation of the life and the light of God that is in us. We are merely proclaiming the good news. I can understand people being silenced and muted because we would give a message of condemnation, guilt, a message of legalism. But our message is good news. Our message is joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is nothing, like Paul said to Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. There is nothing to be ashamed about in being a witness for God. Serve God. Moses, Joshua, Elijah, Elisha, Gideon, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all the disciples, they had their day. This is our day. Today is our day. They are the church of history. Smith Wigglesworth, Amy Simple McPherson, John G. Lake, they had their day. This is our day. When you read the book of Acts, and I think that's what I spoke about last time I was here, the book of world changes. There are names that are mentioned in the book of Acts, but there are many names not mentioned in the book of Acts. But you see the impact of their lives, their giving, their going, their preaching, their caring. They were there, but not named. And sometimes people sit in the congregation, they feel, well, I'm inferior. Heaven does not see you as inferior. Just because you may not have prominence doesn't mean that you are not powerful. Your world, that realm around you, you may be the closest that anyone will ever get to seeing Jesus in you, hearing Jesus through you. In that world, you are God's ambassador. You may not have prominence, but in that world, you carry the authority of heaven on earth. You're a leader in that world. You're a disciple maker in that world. You're a carrier of the authority that is found in the name of Jesus. And as you are awakened in your faith, you may not be found in the journals of church history, but you will be found in the journals of eternity, your life making a difference. And I think one day when we get that side and they open the books, there is the book, and then there are the books. There are people that are unknown on earth, but they are well known in heaven. And I often share the story because it was so profound. I went into a little village in Malawi, and this man was there in torn shorts and torn shirt, barefoot. I thought he was a beggar. I was about to preach. I would have given him my clothes, but I was about to preach, and I didn't want to preach naked. So I said to one of the pastors, please get this poor man some food and something to drink and find some clothes for him. The guy burst out laughing. He said, this is a mighty man of God. I said, he is. He said, he's raised 6 people from the dead in mosques. He doesn't go to Christian funerals. He goes to the mosques and he raises the dead. So much so that when he comes to town, the mosques announce his coming. So he came up to me and he said, please lay hands on me. I said, brother, it's got to be the other way around. I need you to lay hands on me. You see, because we look at the surface of things. He doesn't have a 501c3. He doesn't have a business card. He doesn't have a website. But he's known in heaven. And you should make it, this is my goal. This is what I want for my life. Number one, I want to be known in heaven. Not as a stranger, as a distant relative. I want to be known as a son. I don't want to show up at Thanksgiving. And I don't want to just show up when there's an emergency. You understand? I want to be known in heaven. Number two, I want to be feared in hell. That demons would recognize when I come to town and say, we better back out of this area. Leon's in town. And number three, I want to be respected in the church, not because I'm Dr. Leon or because of my degrees, which I've got so many because I give them to myself. But I want to be respected because of my integrity, my reputation that has been earned. I want to be respected because I carry in my life the recommendation of the battles that have been fought and won on behalf of the church in the trenches and on the battlefield, not just because of reputation, because of title. And I believe that you can have those same goals, that you'll be known in heaven, that you'll be feared in hell, and you'll be recognized and respected in the church because of your service. I think that would be a godly goal for anyone to have as a son, as a steward, and as a servant. That would be a great honor that could be bestowed upon you in your ministry. I want to close, having not had much time because of Bob and Esther stealing my time. I would have taken a whole lot more time with them, because I really think ordination is one of the highest things we could ever do. I truly love, I'm an African, as you know. I'm an African American. Africans do ordination very different to us in the United States. It's a big deal there. They will wash the feet. They will put a garment over them and pour a gallon of oil over them. They will give them the lemons to eat and the honey to drink. And they will pray for a long time. And you know why I love it? Is because it's called honor. When you put someone and ordain them, it's a high calling. There is honor attached to it. But I gave the honor that I was given the 15 minutes of time and 30 minutes for the word, and I've come to the end of my time. And it's going to be, I don't know when I'll get back again. I know you've got some exciting things to do. But I wanted to encourage you today to find your identity in belonging to God, belonging to the church, and serving God. If you have not been serving God, you're a son, you're a daughter, you're a member of the church, but you're just in the crowd, I want to challenge you. It's time to not be a spectator. I found this about spectators, they're the critics. The biggest critics in the church are those that do squat. They'll always tell you what you should be doing or you should not be doing, but they're doing nothing. It's very easy to sit in the bleachers and to criticize. It's another thing to be on the field playing the game, doing what needs to be done. We are not saved into spectatorship. We are saved into stewardship. We are saved into sonship. We are saved to make a difference. If you, in that 80% of the uninvolved, it's time to step up your game. We're running out of time, people. I was young. Now I'm a senior. Couple of the seniors saying, me too, me too. I was young, and it's a vapor. It's like, yeah, today, gone tomorrow. And it's weird, the older you get, the quicker time goes. When I was young, Christmas could never come quick enough. Now it's January, and then it's April, then it's December. This is not the time to make excuses. This is the time to step up and to do your part. If you don't like where the church is at, make the difference. Be the difference. Instead of being the critic of the church, become invested in it. Build it, grow it, give into it, pray for it. Take your game to a level. If you dysfunctional, you're not functioning, dysfunctional. Become functional. I speak resurrection life into your dysfunctionality today. in the name of Jesus. The God to whom I belong and serve. If you're not serving, get involved. If you're on the fringes, become part of the core. And here's what will happen. The deeper you go, you actually create this vacuum that God will fill. You're wanting family to be saved? Create the vacuum. Create this place that God can send people to. By your prayers, your witness, your life, your involvement, your giving, your serving. Stand with me, let us pray. Those watching as well, I'm speaking to you. This is for you at home. It's time to get back to church. I know we don't have room, but get back. There's still the place up front here. We'll put chairs right up to here. Not forsaking the assembling together. Even as we see the day approaching, and I mean, I see the day approaching, I don't know about you. As we see the day approaching, even more so, not less so, we need to turn this thing around. The church, glorious, triumphant, magnificent. And it's not just because of the preachers and the leaders, it's about the least of us taking our place. If you've not been involved, dig in. Get involved. If you're on the fringes, get in. If you've been hurt, get over it. Get back. Forgive. If you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. I can't say it more clearer and straighter than that. You need forgiveness. Well, you better forgive. Leon, could you tame that down? It's about as straight as I can say it. But behind it is all the kindness in my heart because I've been there. I've stood in the point of pain and disappointment. And I had to get over it. I had to forgive. And as a result, here I am 50 years later, preaching with zeal, passion. I'm not bitter. I'm not mean. I'm not twisted. What was meant for my destruction has been turned around for my good. Hallelujah. We are an imperfect people, but we got a perfect God. And we can have a perfect love for one another. And we can view one another by the Spirit. In other words, looking past our frailty and see the gifting and the calling upon those people and draw from that. Now, Lord, would you please place your hand on every soul in this place and touch them and anoint them. And those that are on the fringes, I pray, O God, that this word would resound in their hearts and in their ears, bringing them deeper and closer than ever before. You said when you were tempted, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him shall you serve. Today we've worshiped you, but today we must also serve you. And I pray, O God, that according to Acts 27:23, that we will know that we belong to you, belong to the church, and we will serve you and serve the church. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. What a great blessing. We're so grateful, Dr. Leon, that you poured out so richly. And I just pray that we would all steward the word that we received. We know from Scripture, Jesus was very clear that the enemy would love to steal the seeds that were sown, cares of this life, would love to choke them out. But we're going to contend for what we've received today. And I just want to mention before we close and I say a few more things that this coming Saturday, our sister Anita Estes and Julia Lessie, they've had a heart for just going out, public places, Walmart. That's not comfortable for a lot of us, but there is a place for that. Because you don't know who God will orchestrate you bumping into and who you may see that maybe you knew from once upon a time and strike up a conversation. The beautiful thing about today being Palm Sunday, and this event is going to happen next Saturday, which is the day before Easter Sunday. is it's a chance to invite people out. Sometimes people will just go to church Easter, Christmas maybe, and this is a chance to say, hey, come worship with us tomorrow morning. And so it'll happen. They're going to gather here at 2 o'clock at the church. Whoever feels led to just come, they're going to pray together between 2 and 3 o'clock. You changed the time because she just handed me a piece of paper that said 2. 1:30? 1:30. Okay, so 1:30. Saturday, this coming Saturday. And maybe you're not comfortable just speaking to people, but you can at least invite them to come to worship with you for Resurrection morning. And so I just think the timing of it's wonderful, the word that we received this morning, the way that the Lord is, he's leading us out. And if we need to put a, I don't know what, we'll figure it out. First, let's get the lost here. And so if that stirred your heart, that's something you can, meet at 1:30. It is on there. So I just started at the top down. So meeting at 1:30, we're going to go out from 2 to 3 o'clock and just make sure folks know they're welcome to be a part of what the Lord is doing here. And so before we just conclude, I would ask us to consider what the Lord would want us to invest into Dr. Leon's ministry. He comes here, he buys his plane tickets, he arranges his transportation, a place to stay, and he does all that trusting that the Lord will bless the ministry through the generosity of the church. And I just love that. The folks that we've been blessed to work with, that's how they all function. And I think that's beautiful because that's not typical. Folks usually have a set price. If you want us to come, this is what it's going to cost, and there's all this. It's more of a business model. This is just a relational model where he wants to be here. God's called him to be here, and our hearts are open. And so we know that the money and the way that we tangibly invest into this, that it's an investment. And an investment is one of those things where when you put that money there, you know that you're expecting not just that it's there on your account, but that it's going to increase and grow. And I just would encourage you to pray about, maybe you've never considered giving to someone when you hear a message that is just as powerful as this. But consider it in your heart. We don't have a sliding scale of who gets more blessed by how much you give, but we do know that when the Lord speaks to you to give, if you'll honor his voice to you, I don't need to try and coax everybody and prod into your wallets to be generous. It's in your spirit to do it. So be generous today. I would ask at the back desk, there's a way that you can give. There's a box at the top of the stairs. You can drop checks or cash into that. We have card readers and other ways that you can give just to be generous. And anything that you give today, as long as you designate it to go to Global Ministries and Relief, it will all go to Dr. Leon. And so I just want to encourage you in that. Let's bless his socks off. They look like they're up the calf away. So it's going to take a bit of giving to knock those socks. It's not those little no-shows. It's a full-on calf height sock we got to knock off. So, but it's just beautiful to be in the presence of the Lord. One more thing before I just close in prayer. If you see someone that you don't recognize, we keep hearing about belonging. The first thing that happens when you're going to belong to a group of people is you got to get to know the people. We're a body of believers. We're individuals. We're humans. We're all unique to ourselves and different realities that we all live in, but the church is a conglomerate of all those pieces coming together, and you have to have relationship for that to happen. It takes words, it takes time spent, it takes intentionality, and so just be intentional today. As we close and you get your palms at the back, just remember we're together in this. None of us should be in this alone. If you feel alone in this, fix that. Get to meet somebody. It starts with just meeting somebody. Just meet someone. And so, Father, I just thank you this morning that you've blessed us, that you've poured out richly of your word into our hearts. And we know that this will bring fruit. Father, we know that you look over your word to perform it. And so we thank you for guarding our own hearts from the cares of this life, from the things that would distract us from the richness of what we receive today from your word. Father, we pray a blessing over Dr. Leon, over his family, over Bridge, his wife, over his children, Lord, that there would be just an understanding that there is a blessing that you have poured out over this family for the gift of what Dr. Leon has been to us here today. Father, we just ask you to go over above and beyond and just protect, Lord. I just thank you that as Bob and Esther go out and begin to function in this new calling, that they're just reinvigorated in you, Lord, that there would be protection over them, over their family, over all of our families, Lord, that there's always a way the enemy tries to come at us, and it's usually as a family unit that he tries to break us apart. And so, Father, we thank you that you would protect us all. Guard our hearts, guard our minds in Christ Jesus with that peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' mighty name, God's people said, amen. So we release you. Be generous. Greet somebody. And we will see folks on Saturday at 1:30.